A special welcome to those of you that are here for orientation week. If you're an incoming freshman, if you're an incoming new student, we're very, very glad that you are here with us today. It's quite possible you brought some family with you, if for no other reason than to pay your bill. And we're glad that you're here as well. And for all of our faculty that are here, is the culmination here of Faculty Institute, we're very, very, again, glad for your service. Thank you for being a part of the ministry here on this campus. History tells us that in ancient times, if it was possible, soldiers would spend careful time in preparation prior to battle. A host of things, if time allowed, would be done. Armor, for instance, would be repaired. If there was the proverbial chink in the armor, they would fix it. They would polish their armor so as to look good on the day of combat. Arrows might be made and put in their quivers there near at hand. Swords, for many years, the universal weapon of war, would be sharpened to a durable yet fine edge. And of course, historically, so prevalent was the use of the sword, that swords not only were merely tools of the average soldier, but they also became a metaphor for the ability of a leader to wage war at all. And thus we find phrases in the Bible, Exodus chapter 18, the sword of Pharaoh, or in Judges chapter 7, the sword of Gideon, Ezekiel 21, the sword of the king of Babylon, etc., etc. Now, here's the thing. None of those phrases referred to the actual specific sword of that individual ruler. It was instead emblematic of that ruler's ability to successfully wage war through his army. In fact, even God is described in these terms. Again, Judges 7 speaks of a sword for the Lord. And I guarantee you, there's not a sword big enough physically to fit in God's hand. This is a metaphor. It's talking about God's ability to successfully defeat his enemies through his army. Which I think brings up an interesting question. Wouldn't it be fantastic if God was victorious in and through our ministry for him in this next ministry year? Is this mic on? I'm not sure. There seemed to be a drop in there. What I said was, wouldn't it be fantastic if God was victorious in and through our ministry for him in the next year? Amen. Amen. Yes, all right. If the devil were sent packing over the next 10 months, would that be a good thing? Yeah, amen. Absolutely. God would be victorious. But if that is to happen, the sword of the Lord here at Pioneer and on this campus needs to be sharp. Now, as we mentioned last week, we're not talking about actual physical, you know, bloodletting warfare here. We're talking about much more important battles than that, spiritual battles, battles with eternal consequences. And one of the key factors in us having, quote, a sharp sword is having a clear sense of where this army is going. You know, my Bible tells me, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, let everything be done decently and in, what's that last word? And in order. In other words, be orderly. Be orderly. As a part of God's mighty vast army, we are to be orderly. Let us work together. Let us head in the same direction. Now, I've only been here for just over a year, so I do not claim to be an expert yet on all things Pioneer and Andrews, etc. But I do nonetheless this morning want to share with you the best of what I know so far about the answer to this directional question. Lord, what would you have as our goals for the next ministry year? And with that in mind, to the best of my 13 or 14 month ability, here are the top four priorities that I know to recommend that we give special attention to in the 2024-2025 ministry year. There are other priorities. We're going to talk about those as well. But these are the four that I would put at the top of my list. A first priority that I strongly recommend has to do with a distance that needs to be shortened. A divide that needs to be destroyed, a gap that needs to be bridged. In fact, that's the verbiage that I would use here for the first part of this priority. A first priority here, we need to bridge the gap. You say, well, the gap between what? The gap to our university students. In fact, that's what I would put here, the first priority, to bridge the gap to our students. Now, when I think about students, I'm not thinking here primarily about our elementary age and our high school age students. Now, I'm not saying that we're perfect. We don't always bat 1,000. I'm sure there are some that feel the distance between Pioneer and themselves. I understand that. But by and large, we do a pretty good job of bridging this gap. We have two schools that we support with hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. We have Pastor Ben and Pastor Lindsay. They're over there many, many, many hours every week helping to lead and guide. On the weekends, we've got Sabbath school programs and Vespers programs and all kinds of activities in the summertime and Pathfinders, etc. Pioneer does a pretty robust job of bridging the gap to that age bracket of young people. And after being here for just over a year, I think that bridging the gap with our university students is one of our major challenges. Now, to be fair, this gap is not one of hostility. In other words, this gap doesn't exist because they hate us. That's not it at all. In fact, I don't think I've heard that from anybody in the last year, okay? They're Pioneer members. They're not out running around chasing down students, you know, trying to do bad things in their lives. No, that's not it at all. It's not a gap of hostility, but there is a gap of engagement. Moreover, you need to understand that this gap is not our challenge alone. This is a fairly well-researched part of Adventism. You know, research tells us that student engagement in the life of the church is a challenge across the board in the 13 Adventist colleges and universities in the North American division. And if you're a prospective parent listening right now, if you're considering Andrews University, you should know that here at Andrews, research shows that our percentage of engagement is equal to or exceeds that of our sister institutions. No one's brave enough to say an amen. Come on, you chickens. Yes. Yeah. Amen. In other words, we here at Pioneer, the Center for Faith Engagement, our dormitory dean and housing staff, other religious leaders and influential faculty and staff on campus, we are doing a number of things correctly here in our portion of the Lord's field. Parents, if you're looking for a place that will engage your son or daughter spiritually, we are on the sharp end of that spear. And there is still more good news. If our assessment is correct, one measure of Andrews University's student spiritual engagement, church attendance here at Pioneer, solidly increased last year. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Lead the charge back there in that half of the church. They're a little slow, right? Bring them in with it. That's a great thing. Praise the Lord. We had an increase, a very noticeable increase in student engagement here at our worship services. Amen? Yes. Amen. Yes. And if we're honest, there still remains a stubborn fact that there are many AU students, both in the undergrad and graduate programs, that we here at Pioneer can and must do better at reaching with the love of Jesus. For as best we can tell, there remain many students that are not only not a part of our fellowship here, they're not a part of fellowship anywhere. To the best of our knowledge, and you know, we're not judging, we're just to the best of our understanding, there are many students that do not appear to have a place that they personally value in the visible body of Christ. And yet they are right here. They are in our courts, as it were. They're literally right next door. And still, they do not engage here with Pioneer. There is a gap. Praise the Lord. That must, and I believe can, be changed. I think the gap can be bridged. And the answer to how do we bridge that gap is not primarily about music styles or worship times or formats. I mean, all of those things have their place in this discussion, but not first place. In fact, if you want to know a little bit more about my thinking on this, I write a monthly column for the Adventist Review. How many of you knew that? I'm just curious. How many of you? Okay, both of us, okay, knew about that, all right? Okay, so you need to read it, all right? Because if for no other reason, you'll see what your pastor is thinking in between Sabbaths, okay? And so they have allowed me, perhaps against their better judgment, to give me some space regularly. So I write that column, and it varies between in print and online. In August of last year, August 23 of 2023, I wrote an article entitled "How Not to Keep Young Adults in the Church." If you're interested in how I think about this and how my leadership works on it, feel free to read the article. But to the point, rather than music style, scheduling, etc., being the first line of action in bridging this gap, that first place belongs instead to two things: knowing and belonging. Knowing and belonging. You tell me, do we want every student to personally know and belong to Jesus Christ? Absolutely, of course, that's why we're here. Jesus is the answer to our and their great need. But many of them will not come to know Jesus and belong to him until they know us and belong here. And in my opinion, there are few ministries better equipped to make this happen than belong. Now, I'm going to get real specific here this morning. There are other ways that we also reach out to our university students. Belong Ministries, I think, is one that's just running on high-octane stuff, and you need to be a part of it. Belong Ministries, for those of you that don't know, this is one of our newest ministries here at Pioneer. It was started last fall of 2023. Madi Bowerman, you may have seen her up here at the beginning, announcement time. She's our director. She's doing a great job. She's got a newly expanded leadership team for this year. Belong Ministries does a variety of things. I mean, for instance, we hold special events throughout the year for our students. You may remember last year we held one at Thanksgiving. That time we had about 30 or 40 students that we thought would come to our meal. More than 320 showed up. There is a need, you know, that the Belong is beginning to fill here. Belong also provides treats and care packages during test week, you know, to give a caloric boost and to let them know that we're thinking about them, we're praying for them. We have these tables set up in various places around campus. One of the ministries of Belong that I'm most excited about is the Adopt a Student program. That ministry, I think, is excellent. Students sign up for this of their own accord. Those of you that are new students, you're here for First Stop on Monday. Belong will have a booth, and we encourage you to sign up for this. If you sign up for that, people will give you food. People will care for you. They will be praying for you, because that's what the adoptive families here at Pioneer, they're assigned to a student. We match up students and families here at Pioneer. And throughout the year, they're praying for you. They greet you on Sabbath mornings. If you want to, you can sit with them at church. They'll invite you home for lunch on Sabbath. You can come to Vespers at their house if you want to. Students, all of this is voluntary, but we want you to know we care about you. We long for you to know Christ as we do, and so we love you. Whether you ever make a decision for Jesus or not, we're going to love you and do our best to take care of you. By the way, if you're a Pioneer family and you've not yet signed up to be a part of the Adopt-A Student Ministry, you need to do it. It is one of the best opportunities to quite literally make an eternal positive difference in the life of a university student. This is tremendous stuff. At the end of the service today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to check a box, and we'll make sure that you get more information about becoming a part of Belong Ministries. Anyone that's a part of Pioneer Family here, you can be a part of Belong Ministries. And here's the thing. Belong Ministries does this because we are convinced that there are many of our university students that will not make a decision to know and belong to Jesus until they know and belong with us. We, Pioneer Memorial Church, we are the campus church for Andrews University. And that is a privilege. It is also a responsibility, and we need to rise to the occasion. It is our responsibility to reach out to as many students as we can, welcoming them into our homes, into our fellowship, into relationship with us, that they might see Jesus and come to belong in him. Bridge the gap to our students. That is a first priority. A second one. And the second one, I'm only going to be able to brush the surface with. It requires a much deeper treatment. I'm just going to give you a little taste of it here this morning. And it's found in Acts chapter 2. Let me put it up here on the screen. They, and this refers to the 3,000 plus believers that just got baptized into their first stages there of the Christian church. By the way, any word in yellow, would you read that out loud when we come to it? It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, I got to tell you, this is one of the most pregnant portions in all the Bible. There are so many things that can be drawn out of just these few short verses here. I'm just going to pull out one thing, and that is this. Genuine, deep, transforming community was to be the church's reality from the very beginning of Christianity. It was not an addendum. It's not like, you know, God started out perfect and then, you know, we kind of messed it up and we got lonely. So, oh, okay, we'll find somebody that you can hang out with. No. It is the essence of Christianity that Jesus in me has a tie with Jesus in you. Jesus is the source, the foundation of our community, and is intended to be a deep, trusting, abiding, genuine community fellowship that we enjoy in the body of Christ. And so I believe that at Pioneer this next year, this must also be one of our top priorities. We need to deepen our ties with each other. We must deepen our ties with each other. Now, over the last year, it has been my privilege to meet hundreds and hundreds of wonderful Pioneer people. You've been very welcoming to me, to my wife, to my family. Thank you for that. And I also have heard from many of those same wonderful Pioneer people a sad refrain, and it goes something like this. Quote, I don't know many people here. This is a big church. It's easy to get lost here. I wish I had more friends here at Pioneer. Now, I want to be clear about this. This challenge to community is not unique to us. This is not because Pioneer has some special problem. No. In fact, every large church that I've been a part of over the last 30 years has had to deal with this issue. Why? Because research tells us that once you get past around the 300-member mark, it becomes very difficult to maintain a deep sense of community unless the church is intentional about making it happen. And the answer to how we can deepen our ties with one another, to me, generally speaking, again, this is a very light touch on this topic, more on it later, but generally speaking, there's two solutions to this. And if you do these two solutions, great things can happen in deepening your ties in this community. Those two things are get involved in a ministry and join a grow group. Now, at the risk of sounding horribly practical, let me explain that get involved in a ministry means that you get involved in a ministry. A genius, huh? Yeah, pretty good. Right? You know, many times I think when pastors, you know, make these appeals, people that are listening think, oh, okay, the pastor wants me to join this ministry so that other people will be reached for the Lord and blessed through that ministry. Yeah, guilty as charged. That's true. And did you know that when you join a ministry, you will meet other people? Ah, yes. Uh-huh. See? And you'll probably meet people that you could have otherwise never met. Who knew that reaching out to others just might deepen your social life? Many a marriage has happened in Crater Roll. Okay. Many a marriage has happened in this ministry or in that ministry. People meet friends, whether you marry them or not. New students, I can't promise you that you will meet your wife in Crater Roll, all right? I can't say that. But I can promise you this. If you join a ministry, if you become part of a ministry here at Pioneer, you will meet people. You will find new people that have a common cause because you joined that ministry, I assume, for a reason. And there are few relationships that endure and go deeper than those that are built around service for Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to join. Not a problem. At the end of the service today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to check a box. And it's just a box that says, yeah, I want to become involved in ministry here. You may not know what it is. Good news, we have a volunteer engagement committee, the VEC, that will help you to find a spot, and in so doing, you will find new people to become friends with. And secondly, very practical thing, join a grow group. Grow groups are our small group ministry here at Pioneer. Jesus had a small group. The apostles had a small group. As best we can tell, the entire New Testament church was essentially built of small groups. Who makes himself an exception? You may need to join a small group. You may need to become a leader in a grow group. Now, last year, we did not have much publicity about grow groups. My fault, okay? New kid on the block, that just didn't get on my radar. We're going to change that starting right now. Grow groups are going to launch here in the next 1 to 2 months. Pastor Jacob Gibbs, he's new on our staff. I'm so glad that Pastor Jacob is here. One of his major duties is to oversee grow groups for both the university and Pioneer. He's going great guns. He loves small group ministry. If you would like to become a part of a grow group, or if you would like to lead a grow group at the end of the service today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do just that. You do these two things. Join a ministry, join a grow group, and they will go a long ways towards helping you find deep, abiding Christian community, even in a large church like Pioneer. Which brings us to priority number three. Bridge the gap to our students, number one. Deepen our ties with each other, number two. And number three is found here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8 and verse 11. Paul says this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." A third priority around which I pray we can unite is this. Fund the mission. Fund the mission. I just want to thank the dear sister that said amen to that. We'll meet afterwards. We can talk. We'll celebrate together the good things that are happening here. Some of you are afraid that I'm about to talk about money. Your fears are about to be realized. Okay? Because money is a deeply spiritual topic. Jesus, as I'm sure many of you know, Jesus talked more about money than any other topic while he was here. Because Jesus knows the effect that how we use our money or don't use our money, how the deep effect that it will have on our relationship with him, to say nothing of the ability for the gospel to go to the whole world. Now, to my way of thinking, after 1 year here at Pioneer, this funding of the mission needs to take at least two forms. First of all, church budget. Now, this is easily the sexiest part of talking about church ministry, isn't it? Some of you woke up this morning and say, "I sure hope he talks about church budget today. That would just make my day," right? Well, good news, here we are, right? Here's the truth about church budget. Pioneer, we're all friends. We're amongst family here, all right? As I mentioned a few months ago, we have done a stellar job with large projects that have required directed appeals and directed giving. You know, Renovate 2.0, which I got in just on the tail end of the... That is just one of the most recent examples of a long litany of tackling large targeted projects. You all do great at those. I mean, to the tune, literally, of millions of dollars over the years. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is also true that I have been a part of some difficult conversations on various committees over this last year. And those conversations have gone something like this. "Well, Pastor, we'd like to do this for children's ministries, but we don't have the money. Pastor, we'd like to honor this request for assistance to this person or this organization in need, but we don't have the money. Pastor, we'd like to do this outreach to our campus or to the wider Bering community, but we don't have the money." Now, again, I want to be very clear here. I'm not leveling blame. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. In fact, if there's any blame to go around, it needs to be on me because I did not make those needs clearer to you over the last year. So rest assured, our financial reporting is going to be improving over this next year. And we will continue to do targeted giving. There's going to be some big projects coming out. I'm sure it's going to happen there. And I want to invite you to join Darlene and I in every month setting aside substantial money, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, to help support the church budget here at Pioneer. You know, almost all of the good stuff that you appreciate and enjoy about Pioneer falls under that umbrella of church budget. I mean, children's ministries, Pathfinders, the money that we give to Anders Academy and to Ruth Murdoch, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All that ministry happens under the umbrella of church budget. We need you. Please don't ever say, "This is a big church. They don't need my money." Big churches have big potential if we work together to fund it. And there is a second way that I would suggest we fund the mission. And that is support Pioneer Media. Let me tell you a little bit about Pioneer Media. You know, being a part of Pioneer here locally is a great blessing. Okay, those of you that watch online, you do not get all of the blessings that we have here. There's people from all over the world. We're working together. We're seeking to educate young people, et cetera, et cetera. It is marvelous to be here. And you also get to have some of that blessing, even if you don't live here, because of Pioneer Media. We are a local church with a global reach. Now, let's give credit where credit is due here. Now, he doesn't know I'm going to say this, and he would not like it if I was going to say this, but that's okay. I'm sitting here, and he's sitting there, okay? Pastor Dwight Nelson did a stellar job in creating this global media footprint over the last 30 years. Amen and amen. And I am pleased to say to Pastor Dwight, I didn't break it. Now, Pastor Dwight's been very supportive, right? Nothing but supportive, okay? But I can't help but think in my mind, if I were in his shoes, you know, it's kind of like handing the keys to the family car to your 16-year-old that just got their driver's license, right? Here, son, take it. Don't break it, right? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Through the hard work of our Pioneer Media employees and volunteers, the Christ-centered, gospel-focused outreach of our church has managed to both maintain and expand over the last year. Did you know that every day of every week, there is a pretty substantially large number of people that access the material produced by Pioneer Media? In fact, those of you that are statistics nerds, you don't have to raise your hand. You know who you are, all right? There's help for you. We can also get along together, right? Listen carefully, because I'm going to give you very quickly here a slew of statistics that are all from the last 368 days. I think this was Thursday that I got the report from Gaudiel. Okay, these are actual stats. We have the paperwork to back it up. Let me just briefly run through this here for how Pioneer Media is received in the broader world. Our website, pmchurch.org, Pioneer Media is in charge of that. Over the last year, we had 1.4 million minutes watched. Have you done 1.4 million minutes of anything? I don't know if I've ever sat down to 1.4. That's a lot of minutes. That's tens of thousands of hours. 30,000 stream views, 12,000 unique viewers. Facebook, we've been working on trying to boost our Facebook presence. 1.2 million minutes watched over the last year. Our reach is about 210,000 users, and we had 25,000 content interactions. Now, that's what you're looking for on social media. You want people to interact. You want them to comment. You want them to like, etc. Those kinds of things, to share your content. 25,000 of those over the last year. Vimeo is a platform we've been on for quite some time. 2.1 million minutes watched over the last year. 5,700 unique viewers. New this year is putting our live stream on YouTube. Some of you watching right now are probably watching on YouTube. We had some things on YouTube before for many years, actually. This is the first year that we've put our live stream on it. How did we do in the first year? Not bad. 300,000 views. 5 million minutes watched. And just in the last 90 days, 18,000 unique viewers. That's good. Those are strong numbers. You know, Instagram is one that really just, we've had it for a couple of years, is my understanding. We really tried to focus this year on seeing how we could boost Instagram. There's a lot of Instagram users in the world, right? We have right now, our reach is about 1.1 million users. Okay, it's not, you know, compared to some others out there, maybe it's not the biggest, but this is substantial, 1.1 million users. And let me just give you one example of how social media can help to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and biblical teaching. Pioneer Media, last fall, put together a high-quality short clip from one of my marriage series presentations that I did last October. Some of you may remember that. It was called How to Stay Married Forever and Like It. It was a three-part series, and the Pioneer Media team said, okay, let's do some experimentation here. We'll put this short together, just one, and we'll put it on Instagram. I was at a holiday party, it was a lot of Andrews University students that were there, and one of the students said to me, he says, hey, Pastor Shane, you went viral with that clip. And I actually didn't know that it had been published at that point. I said, oh, really? He said, oh, yeah, it's got like 500,000 views or something like that. Really? Well, that's good news. As it turns out, the student was wrong. It was actually 1 million views. And today, I think the last count was 1.6 million views, 60,000 likes, 480 comments. That's gold, ladies and gentlemen. Because that means people are engaging with the clip. It's not just, you know, a millisecond and they go to the next one. They're engaging with the material. There are 480 comments, 38,000 saves, and 48,000 shares. In fact, that one clip alone gave a real boost to our Instagram followership. We added over 5,500 followers in the space of the next month. Some people think that you can't use social media to spread the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just not true. You know, the demographic that viewed that video overwhelmingly is young adults. Overwhelmingly. Yes, praise the Lord. Amen. That's what we're looking to do here. And here's where perhaps the deepest gold of all. This number is going to sound a little small perhaps to some of you compared to the hundreds of thousands of millions we mentioned. But I'll tell you, this is solid. 234 people so far have asked for and received the link to the entire marriage presentation. Okay, that's what you want to do. You want to matriculate them from social media, from these short clips, onto your website so they can get the full experience of what happened, what the presentation was. Praise the Lord for those 234 people. But wait, there's more. Our services are also broadcast and rebroadcast all over the world through such outlets as, and these are in alphabetical order, 3ABN, Better Life Broadcasting, Blue Mountain Television, Hope Channel, which broadcasts in places such as India, Canada, Africa, Fiji, Romania, North America, It Is Written TV, radio station KLRF, radio station LSQD, Life Talk Radio, Share Hope Radio, our own WAUS, of course. And our services are sometimes also broadcast on Greenville College Station in Texas and Whitewater Community Television, WCTV, in Richmond, Indiana. Many of these places also have their own proprietary apps on which you can access Pioneer Media material. And because of this, people quite literally from across the country and around the world tune into our worship services. I mean, just one example of this multinational audience out there. 60% of our Instagram followers are not in the United States. 60%. They're from countries like India, Nigeria, etc., etc. Some of our viewers are, of course, already Seventh-day Adventist. But many of them are not. In fact, many of them are not Christians of any sort. They have no church family to speak of, but they found us through an online search, a share, a friend sent them a link or something like that. And it is through Pioneer Media that many of them hear about Jesus for the first time. They hear about Bible prophecy for the first time, the three angels' messages for the first time. I got to tell you, every week we receive, you know, mail and email and phone messages that say how pleased people are, the blessing that Pioneer Media has been to them. What a privilege. What a privilege we here at Pioneer have in not just sharing the gospel with Berrien Springs, but with the world. Would you consider joining us in supporting this important ministry? Those of us here in our local congregation, yes, this invitation is to you. Those of you that are watching us online, yes, this invitation is to you. You know, the budget for Pioneer Media, depending on the year, only about a third to a half of it comes from within Pioneer. There are still hundreds of thousands of dollars that are needed beyond that in order to have Pioneer Media be able to do what it does. You know, we do an amazing amount on very little coin. We make every one of those dollars stretch. We've got three full-time employees that help to make Pioneer Media run. They're doing a great job. We have this small army of volunteers that run cameras and switchers and advanced slides and mix lighting and sound and all of that. They do an excellent job of getting the word out about Jesus to the world, and we need your support to make it happen. Giving is very easy. You go to pmchurch.org. That's our website, pmchurch.org. Click on the Giving tab up top. And then click on Media Ministry, and you'll see the instructions needed to be able to donate. Together, we can and will do our part to reach the world for Jesus before He returns. So church budget giving and supporting Pioneer Media, two very tangible ways that we can fund the mission. Which brings us to a fourth and final priority. And I've saved the best, I think, for last. A story. Many years ago, when Darlene was only my girlfriend and not yet my wife, we both worked at Sunset Lake Summer Camp, and it was the end of the season. We were both driving our cars down the mountain to head back to home and get ready for college. She was in her 1981 Ford Escort, one of the worst vehicles ever conceived by man. It was an absolute wheezer. There were two hamsters for an engine. One of them was sick and the other one was dead, okay? You could not get anywhere quickly in that vehicle. I did not like working on it. I was glad when we sold it. Maybe we pushed it off the edge of a cliff. I don't remember. I was driving, however, a fine machine, my 1971 Datsun 240Z. And, agile, lithe. I mean, it was a great car. And so she's in front, I'm behind. We're going down through a little town called Bonnie Lake, Washington. Now, where this story takes place, since then, there's lots of shopping malls and all this building, et cetera, has come up. In those days, it was still fairly country. We came to the stoplight, and we're approaching it. I don't know, maybe we're 800 feet away, doing about 40, 45 miles an hour. And the light turns yellow. Now, easy question. What does that mean when the light turns yellow? you bunch of Adventists, lead feet. It's a speed up. That's right. Downshift. Yeah. Got it. Right. So my wife, she sees the light. My girlfriend at the time, Darlene, she sees the light. She presses on the brake. The brake lights come on. I am behind her. So I thought, she's going to stop for the stoplight. So I put the brakes on in my car too. And then I look up again and her brake lights have gone off. She's going to make a run for it, right? So I take my foot off my brake and I push on the gas. And then, being a 1971 Datsun 240Z, there are some things that you just have to regularly keep tabs on. So I look down at the oil gauge, just as a matter of course. I'm looking down at the oil gauge. And when I looked up, her brake lights were on. And they were on like this on, okay? So the back end of this very softly sprung 1981 Ford Escort was like this, stink bug fashion, right? She is slamming on her brakes. I put my foot on the brakes there. The front brakes lock up, and I slide right into the back of her. I get out of the car. There's steam rising from my very crumpled hood and fenders. The back of her car is kind of folded under like this. Okay, and so the rear fenders are bulging out a little bit. And I get out. And of course, these were different times. I began to give a little lecture about how one should go through an intersection. Just communicating my poignant thoughts at that point, right? And long story short, we pulled the cars off to the side. Mine was still drivable enough. And, there's water all over the ground, antifreeze, et cetera. And we spent the next 2.5 hours or so by the side of the road. I'm trying to fix the holes with what I have and getting some water back in the radiator so we can drive home. The highway patrol shows up. He thought it was really amusing that we were dating. Oh, you two are together, huh? That's right. And then he gives a lecture. He doesn't give me a ticket, right? Usually the person that runs, if you get the ticket, he doesn't give me a ticket. He gives her a lecture. Yeah, she's forgiven him, but it's still kind of a sore point. So after the service, you may want to go lightly on that one, all right? So he gives her this lecture, right? And we get things back together enough, and we make it home. Here's the thing. Months later, I'm underneath my 240Z, as I often was. And I took off the rear drums on the rear brakes, and I looked at the brake shoes there, and they looked brand new. I thought, well, that's strange. I replaced those months ago. And then it's like this epiphany came over me. No. Could it be? Oh, no. So before the accident, I had been working on my car, and I replaced all the brakes, all four corners. Brand new. And when you put new brakes on most cars of that vintage, when you put new brakes on, after you put the drum on, you have to adjust them so that when you push on the brake pedal, they'll actually contact the drum. I had forgotten to adjust the rear brakes at all. So when I slammed on the brakes at the intersection, the fronts were the only ones getting any pressure. They locked right up, and I slid smack into the back of Darlene. It wasn't her fault, it was mine. A pattern that was to be repeated many times in our relationship. You see, you can seemingly do everything else right, but skipping one key step can quickly turn success into failure. A fourth and most important priority, the one that I believe needs to be adopted by Pioneer and frankly by every other church out there, it's one that we've already talked about, one that ties all the others together. It is simply this: relentlessly pursue revival and reformation. Never give up, never stop. Keep pursuing revival and reformation. Because we can do all the other priorities that we have. We can seemingly do them perfect. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit within, transforming and empowering and leading us, we cannot succeed in this greatest intersection here at the end of time. Now again, we've talked about this before, but this time I want to share with you a new development. While it is definitely the Lord's desire that we ask individually for the filling and the transformation of the Holy Spirit each day, individually in our own time with God, there also comes a point when it is absolutely crucial that we join together in praying for and planning for those great corporate outpourings of God's Spirit. And to that end, in March of 2025, we are going to have a very special event here at Pioneer that I think you will not want to miss. March 1 through 9, 2025, that's just before spring break. March 1 through 9, put it on your calendars, please. March 1 through 9, 2025, Pioneer will be hosting a very special series of meetings, learning about revival and reformation, praying for the filling of the former and latter reigns of the Holy Spirit. Now, Don McClafferty, many of you know Don. Don is a treasure in the Adventist Church. He's most known in his earlier part of his career for his excellent work with children's ministries. I mean, Don was the guru for many years that you would go to for help with children's ministries. Recently, Don has done some tremendous work in the area of revival and reformation. The book that's available for you at the door when you go through, that's just a sample of how the Lord has been leading in his life. And Don's going to be the main instructor during those days, March 1 through 9 of 2025. And there's basically going to be two tracks that you can take advantage of. The first one is that there will be meetings in the morning and the afternoon. Anyone is welcome to attend those. They will be specifically targeted for pastors and elders in the Lake Union that wish to learn how to facilitate revival and reformation in their area. Now, I'm very grateful to the Lake Union and the North American Division for helping to fund this very special event. Thank you for helping make it possible for those pastors and elders to be able to be here. And the second track, there will be meetings in the evening, each one of those evenings. Obviously, that's going to fit most of your schedules a little bit better. We want you to be able to come and to hear this teaching. Any District 9 church is going to be welcome to join us that wishes to learn how to facilitate revival and reformation in their own lives and in their churches. And to prepare for this special event, beginning next month, our own local elders and a handful of invited leaders are going to be meeting together to go through this material ahead of time so that they can help be teachers and leaders in the March 1 through 9, 2025 effort. You're going to be hearing more about this in the days ahead as the schedule continues to flesh out. We'll have more details for you. But until then, please join me in praying that God will pour out His Spirit on our humble efforts to see revival and reformation in our lives and in the lives of our churches. I mean, you tell me, haven't we been on the planet long enough? Yes, I want to go home. I don't want to be here any longer. It is time to sharpen our swords. Yes, to bridge the gap to our students, to deepen our ties with each other, to fund the mission, and yes, to relentlessly pursue revival and reformation. We need to sharpen our swords that the sword of the Lord will have maximum effectiveness in and through us. May the Lord richly bless us as this part of His mighty, vast army prepares for the final battles ahead. I want to give you an opportunity to very tangibly respond to what we've been chatting about here this morning. If you have a device that can send a text message, you can send the word SHARP, S-H-A-R-P, SHARP, to the number that you see here on our screen, 269-281-2345. That is our Pioneer Ministry texting service, and if you do that, if you text the word SHARP, you will receive back a form. It asks for your contact information, and then it talks about next steps. If you click on that, there are six things you can choose from, and very briefly, let me just show you. Number one, my decision, I would like to know more about becoming involved with Belong Ministries to help bridge the gap to our university students. Belong needs to expand. We're off to a great start. We need you to help and join the team. Number two, I would like to talk with someone about becoming involved in ministry in general at Pioneer. Maybe you don't know. Is it Belong? Is it something else that you'd like to be a part of? Check that box. We will make sure that someone from the VET gets in touch with you so that we can help you get involved in ministry. Number three, I would like to talk with someone about joining or starting a grow group. We need to get this a running, and Pastor Jacob is going to be looking for our participation. Check that box. Somebody will be in touch with you regarding that possibility. Number four, I commit to regularly supporting Pioneer with my offerings. Church budget is calling. Please answer the call. Number five, I commit to financially supporting Pioneer Media to help spread the gospel around the world. It's truly a unique opportunity we have. Join us as we help to finish the work. And lastly, number six, I would like to know more about the March 2025 Revival and Reformation meetings. This is not a registration. If you click on that, you're not registering for it. It's simply saying that you'd like to be kept on the inside loop as information continues to flow so you can be ready and prepared when those meetings come. Let's pray together. Jesus, you have been so good to us. We're just on the cusp here, Lord, of a new ministry year, and we long to be a very sharp sword in your hands. Help us, Lord. Equip us. Fill us with the former and the latter rains of your Holy Spirit, that this ministry year might be one completely for your glory. Bless us, Lord, in this way, for we ask it in your name. Amen.